Blog Talk Radio.
No.
You'll see that I predicted the trifecta. Second thing.
thing. So, all $3. Tonight, the second night in a row it happened the other night. And tonight, the fucking Red Sox screwed it up. They lost earlier today in 12 innings. That sucks. They lost 5-4 in 12 innings up in L.A.
Thank you. give is just from last week, Chuck and Professor Mazzaccio, my friend from Lock Haven, and
Let me just have this lined up, Sam, like a write-in campaign to ESPN to televise this fight beforehand.
I know. It's funny because, as I was telling you earlier, Rich, Chuck's at the fight, former WBA Intermediary Champion, Carl Daniels. Carl, you know, has tried to be champ back in the mid-90s. But he's got a lot of experience in the Southpaw. I went on BoxRec.com today, and I saw that this fight's scheduled for 6 rounds, so it had to be something with TV time and trades.
ESPN is very good about showing the undercard fights, especially if they're competitive. I mean,
four-round
female fights that they've shown sometimes, you know, when either there's knockouts in the other fights.
Back in 1995,
I've been working on the sucksite.com. Have you seen those layout there?
kind of like Fight Space Online. I've just been putting together all the First Amendment stuff I can find and how to be your own lawyer and how to find all this shit. Hopefully, maybe we create something that catches fire and do another radio show on based on that. I'd like to get involved in that and maybe become like a free speech lawyer someday and actually get paid for it, hundreds of dollars an hour. That would be nice. I mean, if I'm learning how to do it myself already without training, I'm sure with a little training, I'd be good at it, really good at it. Just to concentrate on this one niche of free speech, I mean, it's like easy money. Because there's so much law that's supposed to protect free speech, but, you know, these crazy lawyers, they try their legal tricks and they usually get away with stopping free speech because they know the system. But if you know the system and you don't have to pay out big bucks to, you know, have some equal footing, you know, 9 times out of 10, the First Amendment is going to protect you unless you're flat out, you know, to start calling somebody, you know, saying somebody is something that they're completely not, you know? And there's factual information they can throw in your face to prove it. It's not true.
Step off, he's even though 12 knockouts, he's put in the arena. Murray Anthony, you know, trying to come back after his loss last year to Hunter Abraham and knockout. Murray is 32 and 3, 28 knockouts. We have John Mullins, 2 years, 16-0, 12 knockouts. I'm waiting on Frankie Archuleta, 25-6, 14 knockouts.
Something went up by 10.
5-0, 5 knockouts. When he hurt, he's more than a step up, 8-4, I don't know much about him.
Well, have you seen this Austria card yet?
Okay. Is that on Saturday?
That's on Saturday. I think you may jump the gun on this match of the week. Okay, look at this.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right. That's the whole Saturday.
Well,
no, there's two
games. Oh, last week when he had him on there, and it was interesting. very interesting how he, he's like, yeah, it looks like a real heavyweight belt, world championship belt.
I love it. It's a really good belt.
And he's like, come get it. You want it. I'm here. Come get it. Anyway, we also have on Saturday night over in North Carolina, down in North Carolina, I should say, from our perspective. We have Jawbreaker Promotions, is kind of what that name. It's got a card on. It's Vitaly Demyanenko, 16-0 with 11 knockouts, versus Paul Delgado, 28 with 4 knockouts. And this is interesting, talking about the alphabet soup and the titles. We got a guy who, Demyanenko, sounds Polish. Delgado, I don't know what is that, but it's Italian. Well, they're fighting for the WBC Asian Boxing Council welterweight title and the WBO Asia Pacific welterweight title and the PABA welterweight title, which I assume has something to do with professional pool, basketball. Anyway, there's also an interesting mismatch on that card, too, sort of. Donnell Holmes, who's 30-0 with 26 knockouts at heavyweight, is fighting Ryan Thompson, who's 9-7 in a 10-round heavyweight fight. And Ryan has 6 knockouts to his 9 wins, but 7 decision losses. So I don't know how good that fight is going to be. And then we have Rashad Holloway, who's 10-1 with 5 knockouts versus the ever dangerous question mark. Sorry for that guy.
I'm looking at the champions and the interim champions and all that. I don't know anymore, Rich. I really don't.
9 with 14 knockouts. And I actually saw Harrison fight up here in Boston one time, one of the only cards I've gone to locally there. I think I did see him fight. I don't know if he's going to have enough to beat Baines, though. Baines has been around for a while. He's probably some interesting characters. He's got a great record. He's undefeated. And, looks like he's an 8-round light middleweight fight here. Harrison's old school. He's been around for a while, but he's lost his last two fights. So I don't know if it's quite a mismatch, but he's going to have to pull it out. Then we have Miguel Angel Garcia's 15-0 with 12 knockouts versus Anthony Nkumsi, 14-5 with 7 knockouts. And then we had some big fights on HBO, actually, from Uruguay. That's going to be interesting. I've never seen an HBO card in Uruguay. But some great matchups here. And some titles with some appropriate names, considering. We have an 11-rounder, welterweight, never heard of an 11-round fight, for the WBA Fedelat welterweight title on Saturday. 29-1, Hector David Salvidia, with 23 knockouts, 29-1, versus William Morello, who's got 26 wins and 6 losses with 19 knockouts, lost his last two. So that's for the WBA Fedelat welterweight title, which is very appropriate from the names. Then we have Rafael Sosa Pintos at light middleweight. He's 32-3 with 12 knockouts. Fighting Marcos Hector Vergara, 19-2 with 14 knockouts for the interim WBCO Latino lightweight title. Right on the money with that title. Then we have a featherweight fight. Scattering the weight chain in the top three fights. We have Alejandra Marina Oliveras, female fight here. 12-1 with 4 knockouts versus Adriana Salles, 11-4 with 5 knockouts. This is her last fight. That's for the vacant WBA featherweight title. Or maybe I shouldn't say those are females, I guess. I didn't say female. I apologize. But that's pretty much it for that card. There's some other good middle card fights on there.
There's something else. I just saw this the other day on Wikipedia. I don't know how true this is, but I just want to bring it up real quick, just because I found it interesting. Thomas Morrison, who's a former WBO heavyweight champion in the world, as many people know, he was drafted by the Titans, and he's currently tested HIV positive.
Right.
So he did two fights, he had two boxing matches. One was a second-round knockout of a guy named John Castle, and he goes to that position, knocked in the first round. Then he knocked out Johnny Matt Blazier in the third round, February of last year, Mexico. He had a couple of MMA fights, and they were really boxing matches of MMA gloves. He said, but then it was he trying to go kicking around the camp for elbows.
I thought there was only one. I didn't hear the second one, but I knew that there was one.
He had one in June of 2007, and he beat Cody Johnstone, where he broke his nose in the first round, knocked him out. But this fought a guy named Corey Williams January of this year.
Give it to Tony to find the obscure MMA news that I didn't even hear.
I was looking at something on Tom Morrison the other day for something I was writing or something. I was just.
I've actually communicated with his lawyer, you know.
Yeah, so now he's scheduled for a boxing match against Australian heavyweight champion John Humbleweight in Melbourne, Australia, sometime during 2009. Now, it doesn't look like it's signed yet. And then Solomon Talmono is the backup, in case that person is a turnoff. And if Morrison said he planned to have 6 or 8 more fights in Wyoming, which is where he had, I guess, a mission up there. And now they're trying to confirm the rematch for Mercer Morrison to Wyoming sometime.
That's interesting.
For a boxing match, a triple reduction.
Yeah, the big news with Ray Mercer lately is that he wants to fight Tim Sylvia, the MMA guy. You know, and I don't know why Ray Mercer tries to keep butting into the MMA versus boxing debate. But, you know, we talked about how they never picked the right guys to solve that question. But anyway, that's interesting that you mentioned Australia. And well, before we change the subject and go over this card, I wanted to talk about it real quick. Tommy Morrison, like I said, we talked to his lawyer. He emailed us back and forth. He left some comments on one of the stories that we posted back then. Generated a lot of commentary and interest in the website at the time. When he either was about to fight Castle or had just fought him, and his lawyer went on like a real rampage to go out there and say that he made stuff up. And, you know, this Randy Lang was his name. And I think he was making the circuit on TV too, talking about as much as he could. And I think I actually contacted me a few times about it, and also in relation to the Zions case, he had contacted me. So it's interesting, and you know, he tries to say that he does have AIDS, and you know, these tests are bogus, you know, and this they break the system somehow. So it would kind of make sense if that's true that Tommy has to fight in these obscure areas. You know, why if he has shown no traces of it, you know, can he only fight in foreign locales or obscure states like Wyoming? I don't know. Makes you raise an eyebrow. But then again, I just saw Magic Johnson on Jay Leno the other day. And he's supposed to have AIDS, so, you know, and apparently it's disappeared in the system.
If Magic was talking with AIDS back, I mean, I was barely husky. I went to my grandma's 91-ish. And that was 5 years before, you know, my son was diagnosed. It must be mentioned, you know, if they don't know them, do you really have HIV? They must have been some great strides in HIV management. And I remember that if you had HIV, you were able to get a cemetery in this case.
Yeah, you did.
And look at neither of these cases. He said, we don't know how the people one of them are. But both these cases, Mr. Max Johnson, that's been 18 years. And Tommy Morrison, that's been 13 years. And both of them, you know, still doing well. And, you know, looking.
So I actually looked into his comeback, and I watched some great videos. I think I linked them to the website at one time. Some really, you know, cool documentary-style videos of Tommy launching his comeback, and he does look pretty good physically for his age. For his condition, of course, tremendously good. If he does indeed still have HIV, I mean, he looks healthy.
Yeah, he just turned 40 January this year, and you wouldn't know it. I mean, his first boxing match against John Castle, he lifted 220 pounds. He said he made a little too much. He trained a little too hard. He hadn't built up enough of his muscle yet. But his second fight, he was at 235, which they say, you know, he looked fantastic. I don't know if he's waiting for any of the MMA fights. You want to listen to a boxer after.
Well, looks like we're going to get him on the show, huh? See if anybody knows his contact information.
Yeah, no, that would be awesome.
I remember this not too long ago, a few months ago actually. I think they showed George Foreman versus Tommy Morrison, which is one of my favorite fights. It was a great fight.
Okay,
well, And you remember George used to always say after his fights that he wanted to fight Mike Tyson so bad because he knew Mike Tyson would come right at him.
Yeah.
And that was his style of fighting. He would love to get in the big slugfest. He had a lot of knockouts in his comeback trail. I remember very early on when he fought like guys like Jerry Cooney in the very last, not even limelight of his career, the end, the basement of his career. He fought George on his comeback and ruined him. And I have actually back at home somewhere in New Hampshire in the archives of the VHS tapes, I have a lot of George's comeback fights on tape. And they were mostly, you know, one or two round knockouts. And maybe he did have that in the early clauses. You can't run.
Yeah, well, before the first came back, you know, I was a big fan with all that. And
after. Definitely said that. I'm glad I remembered that because I would have forgotten otherwise. But I'm getting back to the whole boxing thing, and we're going to try to call this John Wilkinson, Pedro Cardona, or one or the other in a few minutes here. But I wanted to mention the Australia thing. It's interesting that Tommy is fighting in Australia, or wants to fight in Australia, because there's an interesting card in Australia on Sunday. And it's one of those other instances of entitles. Weird titles for fights within the sounds, two fights within the sounds. You know, maybe one guy qualifies and kind of made that is. The main event is Samuel Colomban, who's 11-3, versus Guillermo Mosquera, who's 41-7. 12-round welterweight fight for the vacant WBO Oriental welterweight title. Let me figure these things out. Then we have Super Bantamweight fight Daniel Inanazo, 10-0. Versus D.T. Sifkoso. Maybe that's Asian. That's for the Asian Pacific Super Bantamweight title. Sifkoso is 10-6. Inanazo, 10-0. Just thought I'd mention that. It's kind of funny. And then, I don't really think much of the rest of the card is worth mentioning, but there's some fights going on over in Lancashire, United Kingdom. And I guess they got at least one big-time professional loser over there, because this guy's card's record is unbelievable. He's fighting guys 0-0, Tony Atchison, and Carl Taylor, 16-123. 31 knockout losses, 7 draws. But he won his last fight, interestingly enough, beating a guy who's 0-0. So, welcome to the big leagues, buddy. You got a guy who's 16-123. 123 guys before you have not beaten this guy. Might be able to do it too. That's about it until we go to it's not it, but I'll go through all these other semi-interesting fights. I just want to go right to Thursday. There was a fight I just saw here on Thursday, if I can find it. Oh, here it is. Thursday night, over in California, we have a 10-round lightweight fight between Vincent Escobedo, 20-1, 12 knockouts, versus Kevin Kelly, 60-9, with 39 knockouts. Probably. 60-9. And then Super Bantamweights. On the undercard, Christopher Martin, 14-0, versus Torrance Daniels, 12-9. And a whole bunch of question mark fights. I thought that was an interesting fight. Kevin Kelly, Southpaw, Super Featherweight, Flushing Queens. That's the Flushing Clash, I would guess.
Yes, Flushing Clash, sure.
His last fight, he lost to David Rodella, 10-1. Back in October of last year. And Vincent Escobedo seems like he's got a lot better record. So, twice as many wins. And what kind of chances he's going to have.
Definitely a good fighter back in the day, but he's got way too many wars. I mean, he said, you know, well, the wars are Prince Ahmed, and Volkov Derek Morales, which is so, you know, interacting with a lot of wars out there, and, you know,
all right, well, I mean, that's about Dustin's stats of boxing, and spoken a lick about MMA yet, but we still have to call our guests, so it looks like he tried to call us at 8:24, and I didn't realize it, but let's get him on the phone. John Wilkinson and or Pedro Cardona. by the way, the Celtics are in a very tight game right now. For those of you,
record your message after the tone. To send it to Mary Page, press 5. When you are finished recording, hang up. Or for delivery options, press pound.
Hey, John, this is Rich. Looks like we're going to have to reschedule for next week. Sorry I missed the call earlier. But if you want to try back, we'll see if we can connect you in. But we'll give you another shot in 5 minutes. If we can't get you, then we'll reschedule for next week. Oops. Did I hang up on you, Tony? No. Still there? Hello. I know. I noticed. But as I was saying, the Celtics are in a tight game right now, and the Bruins are tied, last check. As I said earlier, the Red Sox lost by 1. So, Carolina's up 2-1 now in the second. It's not good for us. Yeah, the Celtics are down by 1. Game 6, and they're up a game, so they can give one away if they have to, but they'd rather probably win tonight. A tight one. It's always a good chance that Celtics are going to win when they're in a tight game, though. Especially when they come back when they're down by 14.
Yeah.
You always have to have a good feeling about them when they're only down or up by a couple. Now they're down by 3. But anyway, getting back to combat sports, let's give a look at the MMA fights coming up. I know that we have, I think next weekend, we have a big next UFC fight. It's got to be up near the hundreds now, 98 is coming up next. And I'm just going to check to see what else we got going on. Travis Galbraith versus David Heath. both of those are three-rounders. Jake Ellenberger versus John Alessio. A lot of interesting who's who of has-beens. but names I recognize anyway in the sport, so that's good. And then Bobby Lashley versus Mike Cook. Bobby Lashley, I just put out a report about him fighting Bob the Beast Sapp. That's coming up. I'll have to check on that. Actually, it should be right here. I just put a blog up like 2 seconds before I started the show. Okay, here it is. No, but I put one out before too, because Bob Trigger represents him. Bob Sapp and Bobby Lashley. Let's see what's the date on that. June 27th. So this is a warm-up fight, obviously, for Bobby Lashley. And Bobby shows his 0-0, which is bullshit, because we've just seen him win against somebody in that Affliction fight there. Old guy, I forget his name, he's been around for a while. Clay Guida's cousin or brother, something we did. But anyway, MMA Madness obviously has his record wrong. He's fighting a guy, Mike Cook, three-round fight. And Mike Cook shows his 4-2. And his nickname is Animal. He's a 240-pound heavyweight. So, maybe it'll be a good test for him. He lost in his last fight. Looks like, Elite XC, CBS Saturday Night Fights, which was his last fight. And lost by TKO referee stoppage to strikes at 3:39 of the first round. He won his two fights before that by knockout. So, in the PFC Serpent Palace Fighting Championships. So he's not a pushover, it looks like. So there you go, there's an interesting thing. I would have never guessed that fight was coming up. Probably ought to list that somewhere, huh? Sounds like a good one. One of those good non-UFC cards. And there is a lot of guys on that card that are kind of outdated in the sport, but it doesn't mean there's not still good fighters. And speaking of names and big cards, we have a Strikeforce event this weekend as well. Strikeforce Challenger Series. I know we put on a hell of a lot of blogs about this. Those guys are really good about promoting all that. And, of course, the inroads for Showtime, and we already get the Showtime emails all the time, so we always have good stuff out on that. Those goings on. I'll probably be watching this for free this weekend if I can. I don't have cable, but I do have MMA TV. And some good names on this one, too. We have Billy Evangelista versus Mike Mina, a three-rounder there. That's a good one. Also Aaron Rosa versus Anthony Ruiz. Sarah Kaufman, female fight versus Maisha Tate, three-rounder. LeVar Johnson versus Carl Sumanatufa, or whatever. How you pronounce that one? Tito Jones versus Bao Quach. Ben Holscher versus Cody Canterbury, and a few other names. Fabricio Camos, I know that's a good name, versus Torrance Taylor. I think he's more of a grappler, Camos. But he's fighting there. Kim Couture backed out of that female fight there. She was supposed to fight in that, but we have, looks like, a good replacement in Sarah Kaufman. That's all three-round fights on that card. It's going to be on Showtime. So check that one out. And then, of course, we wouldn't have the MMA event listing without a Bellator Fighting Championship show. Like I said, I've been saying, it's coming out of the woodwork with these amazing cards and worldwide publicity all of a sudden on ESPN2 and all kinds of stuff. Or ESPN Deportes. Anyway, we have Troy Gerhardt versus Lorenzo Borgonio. And then we have Sanchez versus Jay White. Alonso Martinez versus Victor Meza. Jesse Juarez versus Marcelo Almeida. Anthony Lapsley versus Ryan Williams. Dave Benet versus Omar De La Cruz. And a few other guys on that card, all three rounders from Chicago, Illinois this time. In the Aragon Ballroom. So they're moving around a little bit. They've primarily been in Colorado, but now they're in Chicago this week. And on the 16th, we go to Stints on Friday, by the way, Chicago. And the Strike Force is in Fresno, California on Friday. It's the Challenger Series Strike Force. And it's interesting, you know, the UFC usually does a free fight night to compete with some of these other big shows to try to upstage some of these events. We said before, Dana White has nothing bad to say about Strikeforce, so it's interesting that they haven't decided to put on a free show to compete with that, considering they do that with so many other shows. So, that's the big event this weekend. We also have on Saturday a couple other shows. First mentioning actually 4 shows on Saturday. Gladiator Challenge, the Beast of Elko, Nevada. There's 3 fights on that card. Dan Severn. That's why they call it the Beast, I guess. Dan Severn is back. He's fighting for a title. Versus Chris Wood in the 5-round fight in the Gladiator Challenge. And I know Dan has been, you know, pretty big in the sport for years and years and years, and really was one of the pioneers to cross over from wrestling. And really, actually, he was probably the very first guy I ever had a discussion about in relation to MMA. Growing up, when I first heard about it in high school, I think, I remember talking about him crossing over to MMA and just talking about the novelty of that sport at the time, not knowing anything about it back then, really. Except, you know, things that I heard word of mouth from people. So it's interesting that he's still going at it here. Just wanted to quickly look up this Chris Wood. He is 0-2. And they call him the Stickman. He's 37 himself. Kind of looks like Roger Clemens. Or actually, maybe a cross between Roger Clemens and David Wells. If you look at his picture here on MMA Madness. His style is freestyle. And he's from Marysville. California. I don't want to make fun of a town, but Marysville. It's not a good name to come from when you're a fighter. And, speaking of way beyond when we first brought this up, and Manny Ramirez, when we mentioned Manny Ramirez, and the funniest headline I saw in relation to that was Manny being Mary. Pregnancy test. But, I never did answer your question about Manny either, that test, the pregnancy thing. Whatever health problem, I don't know whatever health problem he went to his doctor about and that he would get prescribed it, but I think he's just finding a slick way to not say that he took steroids, you know. That was the health problem, was to mask the steroids somehow, and that's why they used that. Because if you think about it, if you're taking a lot of testosterone, you'd want to balance it with something from a woman, right, you know? You got all the male stuff coming in, you got to balance it with a woman ingredient. So I would guess that's why he took it. And there has been some connections in the past with that specific drug and steroids masking. So moving on, back to MMA. Dan the Beast Severn, headlining this card, is 23-10 in his MMA career. And just looking at this, he actually... last fight was KOTC Bad Boys, and he won by decision, unanimous decision in a 3-round fight. And that was back in 2007, November 21st, 2007. So now he comes back, and I mean, maybe they're missing some fights here. Maybe, I should say, definitely. Because somehow, between 2007 and 2009, he ended up with a belt, or else he wouldn't be fighting a 5-round fight here for the championship, unless Chris Wood is the champion. It's 0-2. That's according to MMA Madness, which wouldn't make sense, because if you don't have a win, how can you have a belt? And if you're 0-2, you deserve a belt. Where does it place the pot? Maybe Dan Severn does. Maybe it's just a vacant honorary belt. Anyway, it's a 5-round fight, and that's the main event there, and it's going to be in Elko, Nevada on Saturday, starting at 7 to 10 p.m. Then we have Willis Ferguson versus Jared Kelton on that card, and Kenny Marzola versus Mike Arant. So, there you have it for that. Gladiator Challenge, the Beast. Then we have another Gladiator Challenge affiliated with King of the Cage. King of the Cage also has another event going on in California. Same day, Saturday, 7 to 10 p.m. No fights found, according to the same man. We're going to have a whole fight card, no fight. Storm in Lake Elsinore. I guess they're going to have a tornado come up and suck everybody away. But, I'm just looking at the little poster they have here for Saturday, May 16th. And they don't have first names, but I'll give you last names. We're going to have O'Reilly, Lopez, Laguerre, Cook, Berry, which I'm assuming is Buzzberry. Ground is Plucky. He's over in King of the Cage. No, he's not King of the Cage. He's in Cage Wars over in Gonzalez, Warren, Cryer, and Kling. There you have Booyah. That's who's sponsored by. And then we have, what would a listing be without a Japanese card to wrap things up? And I'm going to pronounce every name because there's only three fights. Shuto Grappling Man, 08, in Hiroshima, Japan. And it's Kisuke Sakai versus Makoto Maeda. All two-round fights here. Must be 10-minute rounds then, I would think. And Kita Yoshida versus Taka Kimura. Two-rounder, of course. And Makoto Akazawa versus Yasuo Niki. Another two-rounder. That starts at 11 p.m. and it goes to probably something maybe a half an hour. It goes to 11:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, according to MMA Madness. So I think we should start double checking based on tonight's results. No fights found. I don't know. I don't know if we can trust him anymore. So that's all I got there for that. I think we're just going to go with next week on John Pito and get things scheduled in advance and put out more bulletins so we have a heads up for everybody and get a more definite thing going. Because obviously we've gone almost an hour and a half here by ourselves. Come on. Right? So, I don't know. Let's... Let's just check what's big in the news on boxing and MMA real quick on Google.
I don't know if I told you real fast, but they're on the move when the mission was to get out. Kelly Powell is 13 more playing up on Spark.
For real?
She's hosting 227. Remind me, please hit 227. Yes, it is. It's a point guard. For a Kelly Powell and Sergio Mora. And when I went to one of my tickets 2 weeks ago, it was weird. They put up one of my tickets and it's going to be on Friday, May 1st. And they say, tickets aren't on sale. I'm like, well, okay, maybe they haven't updated yet. So they couldn't do it online. I called. And the guy over there, he says, well, they're not available yet. I said, well, when are they going to be available? I don't know. I said, well, I've got an email 2 days ago that says they're going to be available. Well, they're not. They're fine. So, I finally called Liverpool Hall, and it was because there was a ticket sale for the first time. It's not the point, it's sales. I said, okay, that's kind of weird, but it's fine, whatever. And then a couple days later, they said, well, how about that staph infection in the hand and points off?
What the hell is a staph infection? I hear that so much, and I still don't know what the hell it is. What is it? Why is it, like, so devastating to people? Why do they have to, like, pull out of everything for a staph infection? Sounds pretty minor to me. You know what I mean? anything about that?
I was just reading an article I saw on USA Today Integrated Climate Account, and it was just talking about, you know, they didn't want it to compromise the training, and it didn't want them to come any less than 100%. I don't know how much of a Bob Arum excuse this is, because you know, Arum's good at that. Then Arum said, when he called Bernard Hopkins, he had a bad elbow, and he could get a little bit wrong on this, and he wasn't 100%. So we don't want that to happen again. I don't know if they're postponing this flight, or if they're just, you know, stepping right out of the water. They might be, trying to get something on their Abraham, not on the floor.
Well, either way, you know, if you're looking for some real boxing, you're going to get it this summer, because I just randomly checked Google News here, and lo and behold, the big story that comes up 6 hours ago, posted on ESPN, Kimbo Slice is going to box this summer. Miami Herald. The briefly popular Kimbo Slice, who built and summarily destroyed a big fortune over the course of 1 year. This is according to the Miami Herald via Fan House. By the way, it's on ESPN saying this, but it's set to make his pro boxing debut this summer. Of course, they're talking about Kimbo Slice. Unwise, this article says, Slice could still have a go at MMA, albeit against mediocre competition, but boxing demands more technical proficiency. Slice's brawling style and bully tactics aren't going to take him very far unless he's up against some seriously gasping opposition. His fan base isn't terribly likely to follow him either. Slice was an internet phenomenon, and that's a culture that's been leaned on mixed martial arts, not boxing. I don't know if I'd agree with that. But if your career role model is Eric Butterbean-ish, you're getting some bad advice somewhere along the line. And that's on ESPN. It does not say he's boxing, but there is a link. Let's see. Gary Shaw.
Oh, what should he do?
Okay. After watching hours of mixed martial arts fighting, boy, these guys are kind of. Nobody to me. No wonder he has to switch sports. Jeez. This is the second article crediting him and ruining the Elite XC organization. I don't know if he'd hang it all on his head, but anyway. Gary Shaw, the promoter who brought Kimbo to the UFC, told Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald that Kimbo, real name Kim Ferguson, will make his pro boxing debut as a heavyweight sometime late this summer. The date, menu, and opponent are all to be determined. So there's your answer. Don't know who he's fighting. I would say it's a good opportunity to bring, I don't know, George Foreman out of retirement. Ray Mercer. How about Ray Mercer? Speaking of Ray Mercer.
On MMA,
well, I fight boxing. Pop his cherry in both sports. Why not? Tommy Morrison. It'll be a new phenomenon. He'll have eight. Anyway, in the picture that they show, he's still got his beard. This article says this is probably the right move for Kimbo. He's really not a good athlete to be a good professional fighter in either boxing or MMA, but at least in boxing he has a clean slate. MMA fans know not to take Kimbo seriously as a fighter, while boxing fans might keep more of an open mind toward him. And I don't know if I completely agree with that statement, but I think just on his fighting style alone, he would probably be a better boxer than an MMA fighter, because there's really a lot more to learn.
For one punch at a time, it's unbelievably powerful. But here's the problem, is the fact that, you know, if you can be able to string together good combinations to be a test on a lead fighter, you say he steps in there with the Tommy Klitschko. I mean, obviously, this is far, far off in advance. Against mediocre heavyweights, yes, you might be able to get away with it, but against a guy that might be a good combination puncher. But Tommy Morrison, back in the day, could string together a 3-4 punch combination to make me able to get that top. we need to be able to, number one, counter that, number two, defend it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ryan Kelsey, now we're going to see how this team holds up. They called up two men that to talk to the MMA fight.
I've also heard some news that Boss Rutten, and we talked about this, I think, with Sean Sherk, if I remember correctly, or one of the MMA fighters we had on not too long ago, how Kimbo started to stray from the program, you know, at the last minute there, so that might have had a lot to do with his poor performance in that one fight. But nonetheless, it obviously convinced Kimbo that he had to change course, and, you know, it totally ruined his image in MMA, and of course everybody came out of the woodwork and never once thought about giving him the benefit of the doubt and saying he just had a bad day, or, you know, actually trying to figure out why he lost the fight. They just kind of said that, you know, his cherry was popped, or his whole bubble was gone. You know, he's not famous anymore. He's a fluke based on one fight, you know, which I think is sort of unfair, you know, but he had it coming to him by, you know, bumping his way into the sport like that after just having kind of an internet record. Conference call
while back, like almost a year ago, maybe over a year ago, with on. And he talked a lot about his school, you know, how important that is to him, and how tough that is to juggle that with the boxing. But he's obviously got quite the backup plan, and, you know, obviously you get a lot of good money paydays for one night's work as a boxer, so, you know, once that runs out, he's going to get a lot of paydays for hourly work as a lawyer. So it's kind of interesting. I know that there's one other guy that's been kind of circulating on our blog, at least, Mike the Prosecutor Pashal, is the only other boxer that I know of who's a lawyer. He's a lawyer, you know.
Since I know of one other, I don't know how much he pursued it, but back in the day, Mark Antonio Barrera was also a paralegal, and he studied to be a lawyer, and this was back in the mid-90s before he exploded into, a world-renowned boxer. So I don't know if he ever decided to just himself, just kind of dissipating, putting millions in the ring because he was making the kind of beauty in his place. But, Prince Nadeem the Man and the trilogy with Morales and the fight with Junior Jones and all that. So he managed to sit down and hold up the screw life. I'm just going to be a fighter in the year. You found out, right?
Yeah. This article talks about some other interesting characters in fighting with degrees or boxing. Vernon Forrest holds a business administration degree from Northern Michigan University, in case you didn't know. James Bone Crusher Smith acquired a bachelor's degree in business administration from Shaw University. And Calvin Brock, who we haven't heard a bit from in the last few years. I don't think we've talked about him on the show in forever, but... He's obviously a banker, and he went back to banking. He holds a degree in finance from the University of North Carolina and manages his own portfolio. So that's interesting. And then both Vladimir and Vitaly Klitschko have PhDs in sports science from Kiev University, which doesn't surprise me. I don't know if they're honorary or legitimate. They're probably legitimate, but... that's where they get their nicknames, Dr. Steelhammer and Dr. Iron Fist.
Yes. They are all PhDs.
But Juan's ultimate goal is to go on to law school and become a lawyer. Juan, maybe both he is. Who knows what he'll specialize in, whether he'll kind of pull a maybe golden boy and be a lawyer to his own boxing organization. Help out the sport in that way, or whether he'll go in a completely different direction, we don't know. Maybe he'll help boxers hash out their contracts with companies like Golden Boy. We'll see. But chances are he'll probably, maybe stay a little bit in that niche of boxing with his lawyerly exerts or whatever he does with the degree or with his bar admission whenever that happens, but I know it takes a while to get a law degree. He's got to go to law school, which is probably going to be pretty hard to do while he boxes, but you never know. I mean, if he's able to get through school in that amount of time, and he's a smart student, political science, sounds like maybe he's going to be one of those lawyers who goes into politics. And speaking of the devil, John Wilkinson, we're supposed to have on the show tonight, is also supposed to hook us up with Travis Sims eventually. And Travis Sims is running for a local office as well. I can't tell you exactly what that is right now because I don't have it right in front of me. But I think I remember reading in the email that he sent that Travis is running for local office himself. So obviously, you know how to promote trash talk and do all that funky stuff as a boxer. So, as a lawyer, you obviously have a lot of politicians who have become lawyers before they were politicians or vice versa. So those two professions go hand in hand. And as I know very well, lawyers and politicians lie a whole lot. There you have it. That's the boxing news off of Google. Popped out at me, and we have a couple of MMA blurbs I wanted to mention. Another MMA guy from the wrestling world, Daniel Pewter, is back this weekend, former pro wrestler, He's going to be back on Saturday, May 16th, when he battles Jeff Ford in Call to Arms 1 in Ontario, California. So, that's going to be going on this Saturday, March 16th. And the match is Brian Warren versus Tiki Gawson, George Carignan versus Albert Rios, Joe Camacho versus Karen Darigian. I don't know if that's any relation to the other Camacho I mentioned earlier. Jay Silver versus Reggie Orr. Jamie Fletcher versus Matt Majors. Anybody else really I recognize in that card? That sounds that way on Ontario, California. And then UFC 2009 Undisputed poised to KO the competition. This is the game, the Xbox $60 game. This is one of the first stories to pop up on MMA this week. Must be coming out soon. And I know we talked about the little bit of controversy that surrounded this game. And one of the fighters, I think John Fitch, if I remember correctly, came out in public and said that he wanted to take a second look at the contract related to the image rights involved in this game. I'm just kind of giving a quick glance over here. This article came out yesterday. And it's been 5 years, this article says, since the UFC put out a video game. So it was 2004, the last time they had a good video game out. So this is guaranteed to be something good. And obviously they were willing to go toe-to-toe financially and publicly in the press, the public eye, with this fight with John Fitch over his rights, signing over his lifetime rights to get this thing done. So you know it's a serious effort. And I'm just kind of looking at some of the screens, shots, and it definitely it looks pretty impressive. So you gamers out there that are thinking about investing in a good game, you might want to check this out. And of course, in the screenshot that I'm looking at, first off, they show Anderson Silva with a big science logo in the background. although Harley Davidson is in the middle of the map for the game, science is on the map, of course. So I don't have a problem with this necessarily, but I don't know if the shareholders like that. I got screwed over. But science is all over the game, and I'm just looking at a couple of the screenshots. Very graphic. Graphics right down to the veins and these guys' muscles when they're throwing punches here. And, you know, sweat thrown off their faces, and detail on the gloves, and tape, everything. Very detailed. It's a very impressive meeting. I will have to rent or steal. But, Bruins are losing still, third period. Narrowly losing the basketball game last I checked. Now it's over. You lost that. Celtics lost. Yeah, I think they lost. I didn't check it. I stopped watching it when they were down by 10, I think. No, 6 with a minute left. That's about it for MMA and boxing, I think. I don't know if you have anything else. Watch, and I only watch usually during the playoffs. I don't really watch too much during the year. casual glance here and there, but when I watch a whole game, it's usually only in playoff time. But anyway, they've also had a lot of other Game 7s in past years that I've watched, and they always come out well with Game 7. Not always, but a lot of times. And that's like a Boston thing, I think, to come back from nothing, and especially with the Red Sox, of course, in 2004.
Right.
And you can never count out a Boston team in Game 7 because of that. You know, the history, especially in recent years. A lot of the teams down the Bruins have proved it in the past, too. They've done a lot of Game 7 themselves and won. But, anyway.
They're going to have to do it. I hate them more than I do the Rangers and the Devils, who I've hated for years. And I really come to hate Pittsburgh just because of what Cindy Crosby is again. He wanted to try to beat the Flyers in the Flyers comeback series. I mean, the first two games were poorly officiated. But the other game, the Flyers had a flaw, and they got off the hook. I mean, they had 6-3-2 in the series. They took up the
this year there was a very interesting incident, the game before the last one, a punch thrown by one of the Carolina guys, Aaron Ward, and they showed his shiner in the last game, I remember. It was pretty bad, but he fractured his orbital bone from the punch. It was that bad. Let's talk about boxing and fighting. We'll get back to it and talk about hockey, too. The number one fighting sport, other than the actual combat sports, I think. But this guy just randomly, out of nowhere, punches Aaron Ward. I don't even know the guy's name from Carolina, but they were saying that that had a lot to do with the Bruins' aggressiveness in the next game. Like they were really pissed off and kind of called to arms by that. And there were a lot of hard hits in that last game, too, by the Bruins. So they really responded.
If you ever want to see something bad, go with the Google and put in Sidney Crosby. I'm serious. I mean, certainly. So I'll call it Sidney Crosby. And, I really think it's why he cries, he'll die for every, and he'll get every hook. He's like the Marx star, the listener, you know.
Yeah.
But this one, there's like a big fight going on. And one of the guys in the tank went ahead of the guy. Now, but the thing that I don't have a lot about him Do you remember when he got suspended for a whole year for hitting Donald Brashear, who was with the Canucks at the time, with the stick?
Oh, yeah, that was what got him in so much trouble for the elbow thing, because he had a pattern of doing that before, you know?
Yeah, well, the thing is, yeah, because I remember Donald Brashear when he went to Philadelphia about a year, about 2 years after this happened. And I remember, like, Brashear was a goon, you know?
Speaking of boxing, we got some boxing going on King of the Hill right now.